miles from a sandwich, an old yogurt pot, cigarettes that'll kill me, my scalp itches. I'll be your money man, I'll be your money man.
And lovers, welcome back to Think of the Children. It's a premiere podcast in which we take your childhood, put it into a giant facsimile of a man made of wood and burn it. My name is Owen Piper.
My name is Jay.
And welcome back to the show. Jay, how are you doing on this fine day that we put up the show?
I'm good, actually. I'm just hanging out in my little pillow fort that I've made for myself. I don't know how acoustics work, so I don't know if it's any better.
I love this idea that you just got like a fort with like no girls allowed written on it.
I don't, dude. And, like you need to see this. You need to see this fucking fort. It's amazing. I can't get further.
Tweet out a photo or something, and I'll have the Twitter retweet it.
Yeah.
I'll have our social media guy, i.e. me, retweet the image.
That's
that
my pillow
out.
Fort. It's beautiful.
Hell yeah! You just sent me a Facebook. Okay, well. Okay,
you need
well,
to see it before anyone else.
Could have done.
It's amazing.
I'm trying not to open Facebook because we're in the middle of recording. But okay.
You disgust me, sir.
That is quite a little fort.
Yeah,
I like that. Oh, it's cute. I like the little bird plate you've got behind you.
It's
there
a blue jay. If you are of the bird knowing variety.
Oh, and your name is Jay.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Actually, when I was
because it works.
When I was a kid, my dad came home and he had a friend over from I think Canada or something. But this guy brought him a gift for me, which was a Toronto Blue Jays baseball thing. And I wore that for ages. Oh. And then I don't know where it is. It's gone somewhere.
Somewhere?
Yeah.
It's somewhere in the house.
And I was like, I'm going to start following baseball when I learned that. And then I was like, baseball looks dumb. I did want to follow hockey, though, because I found out about how the Mighty Ducks became an actual real-life hockey team. True story.
Baseball is just rounders for Americans. It's fucking shit. Anyway, yes, welcome to Think of the Children. It's a premiere podcast in which ruin your childhood. Jay, we're going to do the show now. So what did we actually do? I wrote it down. I can title the episode Goofy's Dead Body, which was a weird choice. I called it The Very Regular Show, the thing we eventually put out into the world, which was the very regular, which was a very upsetting version of
Regular Show.
Of Regular Show. Which I think was very good.
Yeah.
Is that I'd actually watch that. Is the thing.
Probably.
Our version of it, anyway.
I mean,
how did it do?
Existential nihilism is making a big comeback at the moment. Like as a television show subject.
That whole episode that we did last week was very nihilistic. As on the par, it was very nihilistic just in general. We had the Hoobs discovering that all humanity was worthless. We had the cast of Futurama being replaced by robots. The only fun part was when Mysterio showed up to fuck with Captain Scarlet.
Yeah. It wasn't even that fun, he just ruined their lives.
And even then it was pretty shit. Because
yeah.
he trapped them in a hell dimension, in a Kafka-esque nightmare from which there is no escape.
Goddamn right.
So how did The Very Regular Show do at market?
Well, it did very well among fans of The BoJack Horseman, because it's basically the
good.
Same show.
Good, that's good. That's a good crowd.
Yeah, so we won lots of money, which I then blew on lottery tickets. I have no idea if they won or not, because once again, I lost them in another card game, because I bet all the lottery tickets on a card game, and then I ended up having to fight my way out of a casino, because they were like, these lottery tickets aren't even real, because it turns out I bought fake ones from Poundland.
Okay, so you spent millions of English pounds in Poundland. You bought out their entire stock of fake lottery tickets.
Yep.
To bet on a card game.
Yes.
To win millions of pounds, assumably.
Yeah, and then I lost more than I gained. Like, I lost, like, all that money, and then I lost more because I had to pay for the damages to the shootout in the casino.
It's an interesting and storied canon, your life, Jay.
Yep.
It's an interesting... Like...
I'm an enigma.
Should we do the show then? You are, but you're my enigma, and I love you.
Okay.
Alright, Jay, that was just me trying to be nice there. You could have at least said thank you, but alright, whatever, let's get on with the show, shall we, Jay?
Yes.
Do you have any you want to do this week? Or should we jump straight into some ideas?
I have one idea, and I don't know if you've heard of this. The thing about the PlayStation 2 is there's loads of games that like came out because it's just a wild west of good games.
There was like so many good games on the PS2,
but also it was like three times as many bad ones. And
oh, there was shovelware out the ass. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and then I was in hospital one time when I was like 10, and I played this game called
Sucking Too Much Dick. Or...
No, it turns out I had something called irritable hip syndrome, and basically that meant
that mean you shit out the side of your hip. Or...
No, my leg joint outgrew my hip joint, so it was grinding against the inside of my pelvis.
Oh, that's actually quite terrible.
I'm sorry. It really hurt for a long time. I got to sit around in a wheelchair. I was very upset, though, because I didn't have a big enough wheelchair to wheel myself around. But then I found out that they had a PlayStation for... Because I was in the kids' ward, they had a PlayStation on a mobile television, which I thought was a great idea.
That's sick.
Yeah. And then I grew up and I was like, oh, you actually have to move TVs around with your fucking hands like an invalid. So I fucking... I
love this idea of you in a hospital just like... Fetch me the PlayStation. I must complete Crash Bandicoot.
Well, I was really scared of asking because, like, the nurse that was was in the ward was like really old, and I thought she was just gonna hate me. She's like, "Ah, oh, kids should go outside and play," and I was gonna be like, "I can't
move.
Yeah,
my hip's fucked."
So I so they brought it in, and they had like four games. I think three of them were just shovelware crap, but one of them was a game called Scalar, which is really cool.
I know Scalar. I almost bought it.
It's a really... Yeah,
you're like a lizard fella,
I played
right?
it. I almost stole it, but I didn't. I might have stolen it. I don't remember. I have it. I have it on my...
I have acquired a copy of Scalar.
Somehow.
I think
I might have bought it when GameStation was still a thing.
I think everyone has a game like that, like, on their shelf, that they just acquired through no, like, knowledge of their own. They don't remember buying it.
Oh,
they just
My
Steam library is just that incarnate.
I
have 400 games on Steam, and I don't know how I bought half of them.
I have a lot of games that, like, I think I borrowed from people, and then we just stopped talking, and they never asked for them back. That's how I have my copy of Rome Total War.
I think I had a copy of Gears that I did that to.
Oh, Gears. But yeah, so Scalar is a game about, a child who's like, I think a wannabe eco-terrorist who gets captured by some weird lizard cult and an army soldier and then is transformed into a lizard and thrown into their world. And then it's a really cool, fun platformer where you just become different types of lizard creature, and then I never finished the game, so I don't know what happened.
So it sounds real fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's a good game.
Except the part where you're an eco-terrorist.
I don't know. So I hope you were an eco-terrorist. I remember he was like, he was trying to protect lizards or something.
In our version, you most definitely are an eco-terrorist, because that's fucking amazing. A child eco-terrorist is very good, is the thing. So here's what I'm thinking. So, like, you're at a science fair. The opening cutscene plays. You're at a science fair, and you're like, oh, here's my
that's
lizard
good reviews.
Guy. Yeah, so I think it did quite 70, well.
70% on Metacritic, 4.5 out of 5 on eBay. My God!
So here's my idea for it. You're at a science fair, and you're there, and you've got a fella, and like he's all like, hello, look at me lizards. These are my very good lizards, what I made. Or found in the garden. And then the lizards are angry that you stole them from his habitat, and so they kidnap him, turn him into lizard through genetic modification, and it's all very depressing and sad, and there's all... Like, you know those cool shots where you're on a gurney and like you look up and it's like a hospital light in your face? There's a lot of that. And then it's like... then you just play Sonic Unleashed, but the werehog stages with the stretchy arms, and it was bad, and so it's just that. Just a beat-em-up. A really shit beat-em-up with stretchy arms and an annoying lizard character that won't shut the fuck up.
This fucking synopsis of the intro to the plot is amazing.
Let's hear it.
Prior to the start of the game, lizard-loving animal activist Bobby Scalar Jenkins... Okay.
Fucking... Right, okay, listen. If your name is anything, you're going to become a thing. If your name is, like, oh, you know, Keith Hammer, you're going to become Hammer Man.
Yeah.
The man with hammers for hands. Like, don't ever name your kids anything that is a thing, because it will just turn out bad for them.
It discovers that five extra-dimensional humanoid reptilian creatures... Hold on. You need to hear their names. I like the theme of the names, because the first one is Luger, which sounds like the pistol Luger, which is fine because that's a gun, that's cool.
Yeah,
it's an efficient German pistol that loads of American soldiers wanted to take home from World War II. That's fine. Uh-huh. The next henchman is Jazz. That's okay. All right, fine. Jazz is a pretty cool.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Then you got Rhombus.
Rhombus. Which is Rhombus is the kind of guy I can do business with.
Is a skewed. Square, which is interesting, or rectangle. Boot Camp,
That's not a name.
It's not a name.
Fuck off.
I think, I'm pretty sure, from what I remember, boot camp is supposed to be, like, a fake boot camp, like, drill sergeant who was on a TV show or
yeah.
something. Okay, and then Turbine.
That would make sense.
Turbine.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Rhombus is my favourite.
Yeah.
Rhombus sounds like the kind of guy you could sit
yeah,
down
I
and
think
discuss
instead,
you know,
like,
theoretical
the,
physics with.
Instead of a, so you're an eco-terrorist, but then you discover that, like, the enemies are all evil sentient rhombuses. And they're from the first dimension, and they're trying to kill people.
It's fucking...
But
is this a weird direction for the Geometry Wars series?
They're the
they're
dangerous
the
because they're the first dimension, so they can cut super easily because they're just, like, infinitesimally thin from certain angles.
Yeah.
Good old second dimension.
So what kind of... What genre of game is this?
I haven't
What's the genre?
I haven't fucking finished serving this podcast. They have disguised themselves as human and intend to conquer the multiverse, which is... Okay, fucking Marvel, the Marvel Universe ripped this shit off, man, Jesus. Luga and his subordinates discover that Scalar knows of their plot and kidnap him, you know, a 12-year-old.
As you do.
As you
yeah.
do. And the game opens with Boot Camp interrogating Scalar by electrocuting him. So Boot Camp has a history with the CIA or some shit, apparently.
So child torture,
yeah.
that's fun.
During the torture, cool. Boot Camp, frustrated by Scalar's taunts...
We're just straight up calling it that. We're just going to straight up call it child torture,
yeah.
okay? Yeah. Cool,
during the
cool,
torture,
cool,
Boot Camp,
cool.
frustrated by Scalar's taunts... Okay, let me tell you something. I love the fact that, like, Scalar, a 12-year-old boy, has the fucking strength to taunt people when, like... It's fucking...
Being
when you, yeah, when you hear stories about people being tortured, they're like, yeah, there's no point in trying to, like, resist torture because... They're just going to keep doing it until you tell them anything, so just tell them anything. So why is he taunting them?
Yeah.
Anyway, accident... Boot Camp's frustrated by Scalar's taunts accidentally opens up an extra-dimensional portal.
Oh, you know, as you just have those lying around.
Which transforms Scalar into a blue-skinned reptilian humanoid and releasing him from his restraints. That doesn't make any sense.
Christ.
Scalar escapes through the portal and Luga and his henchmen follow after him. And then he meets a lizard man who's called Leon, which is convenient because that's what his dad was called, and that's called terrible foreshadowing.
Oh.
So yeah, so eco-terrorist gets distracted by the fact that evil second-dimension rhombuses are trying to kill the world, and also there's a guy who likes to kidnap and torture children chasing him around, so that's like a side quest or something.
That's a side quest to deal with that. Just, oh yeah, this guy tried to torture me. He's the side quest. We've got to deal with the rhombus
yeah.
situation that we got going on right now.
Like,
I just love the fact that there's like multi-dimensional lizards from like the fucking extraplanar entities.
Yeah.
It's just like what the fuck? Who wrote this?
I don't know. Who did write this? Let's check.
I don't know. That's very good is the thing. I just wonder if there's any way we can make it sort of like more terrible than just absurd.
I think that like the transformation sequences, which I believe in the game are pretty seamless, are just like 10-minute agonizing piece by piece. like
you know how you like you see like you know how like in some films and stuff you like see sort of characters like bone like ah like clicking and
yeah.
like, when people transform into werewolves just like that but you see every excruciating detail
yeah.
and it's an unskippable cutscene you can't skip it it's probably going to awaken some kinks in some people if I know what the kink community is like
yeah
and I do because I am the kink community.
I just want to say the game is
so
called
yeah, just...
it's also known as Scalar the Shapeshifting Chameleon but like. It doesn't look like a chameleon. That's not what chameleons look like.
No.
And I used to love love reptiles and snakes and shit, so that upsets me.
We're getting off topic though. We need to actually find a way to ruin this. I've noticed this, like you have a tendency to go off on like massive tangents about nothing
yeah.
for like a good 20 minutes.
I have the attention span of a gnat.
I've got to kind of like rein you in a little bit more.
It's a cause of great distress to anyone who has to enter a conversation with me because it will last 2 hours and I'll never finish talking about what I started the conversation.
See, I have to enter conversations with you for an hour at least every week.
Yeah,
so,
that's your fucking...
So weep for me.
That's your fucking problem.
Fans of this podcast. Right, to be fair, I bought you here.
Yeah.
It's my fault just as much as it is yours. So Scalar then, we'll ruin that. We'll make it terrible by just having... But I don't know... That, apart from the agonizing transformation sequence, I think like, that's a gimme. How else... Like, what else can we do to it? Like, we have to make this boy, this young boy... The worst kid. Just we have to hate him. But we have to be forced to play as him.
Make him a weeb. Like a really annoying young weeb.
Oh, okay. Now I'm into maybe he's like into like weird lizard anime, which I'm sure is a genre at this point. Maybe there is a fucking there's definitely lizard anime. If I Google lizard anime,
there's an
I'm
anime,
sure I'll get like top 20 lizard anime.
There's an anime about anthropomorphic horse girls.
Who are like, see, that's not going to do it. For, no. Yeah, here we go. Lizard man. Lizard anime. Here we go. Fucking. Romance of the Reptile Kingdom. Forces gather for Lizard Man War in the Overlord anime. Eyes all gown. It's fucking.
Overlord is fucking cool as hell. It's the.
Oh no, I'm just sure.
It's the only isekai show that's any good.
And then I guess if you want to get pedantic, I guess Envy's kind of a lizard in Full Metal.
I don't think really.
We're getting again.
I don't think it's. It doesn't really count as a lizard. It's just a lizard-esque creature. It's just made of flesh. And
Babby,
shit.
Babby Envy. What about Babby Envy, the little one? Babby Envy. Oh, it's more like a leech with a tail. I guess.
Abby Envy was just depressing. That scene was really cool, and then it just got depressing.
Yeah, real sad, real quick.
That fucking, the whole, the crazy clicking was just, I was sat there watching it like, oh, I want to do that. But I can't do that, because alchemy isn't real. And also, alchemy didn't work.
I'm now looking at an image from a lizard anime of two lizards embracing, and then the female lizard, I'm assuming she's female because she has long eyelashes, saying, impregnate me to the male lizard.
I need to see it. So send me this picture. I need to see it.
I'll send it to you later, because we're already wildly... Maybe we just make it porn? Let's just make Scalar lizard porn.
Yeah, let's boost it up, like, age-wise. Everybody's... we added 10 years to everyone. Fucking...
Yeah, everyone's at least 23 years
old.
Yeah,
Scalar's like... He's been around. He's like, oh, damn it, I'm having no luck with women! So he turns himself into a lizard, gives up his eco-terrorist ways...
He goes to see a witch doctor!
He goes to see a witch doctor. And
he turns him into a lizard.
He's like, yo, if you're not busy being in Diablo 3, can you turn me into a lizard so I can fuck some lizards? And then he enters an anime-esque lizard world, and then he becomes... It's isekai, but with lizards. It's lizardkai. I don't know.
There it is. That's very good. Yeah. Okay, excellent.
And also, he has a smartphone, because that's the new trend now.
Yeah.
In another world with my smartphone. What the fuck is this
in
shit?
Another world with my lizard dick.
And a smartphone where I could send lizard dick pictures.
And a smartphone to take photos of my lizard dick.
Amazing.
Oh god, that's very good. Okay, we'll keep that. I'll definitely keep that on the back burner. I have some stuff here. I've got one of mine, actually, because I haven't done one of mine for a long time. When I was a chitlin, sitting at home, of a morning or of a night, I forget when this program was on, but of a time of day, I was a chitlin, I was surrounded by the glow of the television set, and we were, what, me and my sister, would watch Bear in the Big Blue House.
Oh, I love that show.
Do you know this program? Yeah, so it's about a big bear and his mates that live in a big blue house, and they get out to all sorts of adventures. I honestly couldn't tell you the actual plot. All I know is at the end of the show, the bear, like, summons the moon, like, Majora's Mask style, and they have, like, a little thing, and then the moon fucks off. So, I'm thinking we just put... We make the moon evil and make it Majora's Mask, kinda.
Yeah.
That's kind of my go-to.
I think the moon... The moon should be an allegory for Yogg-Sothoth. It's like, it's not confer, it's like kind of like, it's kind of Yogg-Sothoth, it's not really, and then like, the bear, like, because wasn't there like a human kid involved with the house in some way? I don't remember.
I think so. I'm going to have to look this up. Hang on. Bear in the Big Blue House. If you want like an idea for the sort of tone of this show, think kind of...
No, it was Jim Henson.
Think kind of Barney, but with a bear instead of a very terrifying dinosaur.
Yeah.
There were okay. So there's the bear. He's a big bear. He likes cheese. No, he's very big. He loves them all. He loves all the kids. There's a little mouse who likes cheese. There's two otters that live in the house as well for some reason. There's a bear cub who also lives.
A shadow girl who is always laughing, there's... telling stories, and sneaking up on bed. That sounds like a great D&D villain. What the fuck?
Okay, no, I'm into this. So maybe Shadow is the ghost, it's like the Victorian ghost of a child that died in this house.
Yeah.
That's been since, like, taken over by bear squatters. So, like, Bear didn't build or own this house, he just, like, found it one day.
Yeah,
and he
also,
said to,
like,
Ojo, yo, Ojo!
Yeah, I think part of the charm that's, like, of it is that they're all animals, so I think we make them all humans. And, so we have, like, Bear is just a really big dude who's hairy.
Oh, he is a bear,
yeah.
As in like a very hairy gay man.
Yeah, but like everyone's cool with it. There's, you know, that's why they call him.
I didn't say anyone wasn't cool with it, Jay.
I know your fucking conspiracies, Aaron.
I didn't say anyone wasn't cool with it. Don't try and come in here and say that they are.
Yeah, what? Tutter. Tutter's just a Tutter, really, yeah, really, really mousy guy who just tuts all the time. He's like, ugh.
Okay.
He's really, Pip and Pop are...
we do a complete...
Pip and Pop are, two twins who just do a shit ton of drugs.
Yeah.
Ojo.
We're, man, we're otters.
Ojo likes orange juice. I don't know. Trilo is like an...
That's his only character trait! Just... He fucking pops up. Hi, Bear! I like orange juice!
Someone, like, goes to have a glass of orange juice and he fucking freezes. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Huh? You think you can take my orange juice? And he just fucking bites someone's hand clean off. It starts off as, like, a... He's, like... They go to the house to stay for a while and then, like, at first he's just like, oh, man, they got orange juice. I love orange juice. Like, my favorite juice. And that's it. That's all he talks about. But then the shadow, like, taunts him. And then he goes crazy. He just gets more and more obsessed with orange juice as the show goes on. Trilo. Loves to dance, always active, and a good friend with Ojo. So, I don't know. Fuck him. Whatever.
We cut that guy.
I can't make anything with that guy.
Fuck him.
Luna the Moon. that's cute. Luna the Moon it's just an elder god, and... Bear, okay, at the end of every episode, Bear walks out onto the balcony and discusses the episode's themes and things. The goodbye song, okay? But instead, it's like he just sings a song backwards as he's slowly being taken over by, you know, an elder god. Ray the Sun, a talking sun who would often rise or sit at the beginning of 7 episodes starting from season 2. He tells about the... So he tells him about the weather, but instead he predicts the future and gives him an infinite number of...
He tries to warn him.
No, he gives him an infinite number of possibilities, not throughout any, like, evil or good. He just...
Forces him to
see infinite futures. And essentially, Bear just goes crazy eventually, and then it becomes a story about them trying to murder each other using arcane powers. But this reminds me, because I used to like this show, and there was another show that was about an elephant and his family.
You know what, Baba?
I think that was it, Baba.
Baba the elephant, yeah man, the elephant king, Baba. Fuck yeah, dog, no one else knows who this is.
Yeah, I can't find... Baba the...
He had a green... It's B-A-B-A-R.
I just googled Baba, and it came up with Baba, the cosmic barber who died. What the fuck? What the shit?
Oh, Christ.
Oh, he was an Indian barber for cosmic head massages. He's died. Huh, okay.
Baba the elephant was like the elephant king. He was great. He's like an elephant. He's got a green suit. He's got a crown. And he's a good boy. Except he might be slightly more problematic now, looking back at it. But this book was written in, like, the 30s, so yeah, fair enough. I can kind of see why it might be.
What was problematic about him?
Obviously because of, like, the story was he came from Africa because his mother was shot by a hunter. He fled the jungle and found found a big city.
Right.
There was sort of, like, it's kind of weird now because it's like stereotyped Africans a lot.
Oh, I see.
And obviously the book was written.
I've just got to criticism and controversy, and some writers notably have argued that although superficially delightful, the stories can be seen as a justification for colonialism. Okay, no, that's not a good thing.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah, and again, obviously written.
It's weird though, like how you look at shit like when you're a kid, you don't think anything of it. When everything just gets more depressing as you get older, because you're like, oh my god.
Because like, as you find out about the world, it's just like, oh, fucking goddamn it.
Isn't it French as well?
It's Baba.
Yeah, it's French.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, that big colonial power. Eesh.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's not touch that one.
Let's move on from Baba.
But my point was is that there was a character character in it, and I don't remember. I think I had a crush on one of the characters. There's like a human character that I had a crush on.
Baba also married his cousin, just a heads up.
Yeah.
It was a weird series.
They made a show.
The TV show, Baba the Elephant. Yeah, there was a TV show because I've watched it. It's called Baba. It was a TV series.
That's it.
Characters. Here we go. Yeah, there aren't really any female characters. I think you just had a crush on an elephant, dude.
No, I don't know.
Which is fine.
I mean, when the show was on, I was like fucking 7.
If you want to fuck an elephant, dude, I'm not going to stop you doing that.
Was it Baba, human, guy? There was one, I swear to God.
There was Lady Rataxis, but she was like...
Nope. No, I have no idea why I thought that. I did have a crush on Thorn from Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost. Which is led to my obsession with coloured hair and death metal, I guess. And Jennifer Hale.
Oh, hang on, no, there was a 2000s revival of the show. That might have been it.
Maybe.
They were travelling around in a hot air balloon.
No, they were definitely in a house. A big-ass house.
Okay, so it was definitely the first series.
Maybe I had a crush on Elephant. When you were, like, fucking...
Who knows?
When you were, like, 7, you're like, I have a crush on this character because they're cool and pretty and, like, interesting. And then you get older and you're like, man, like, I'd like to fuck human things that are, like, my age.
Man, when I was a kid, I wanted to fuck an elephant. That was weird, huh? Yeah.
I remember that show because I was, like, I'm fucking jokes legend of, like, having that. And then when I was 13, watching fucking the X-Men cartoon, I was like, man, Rogue is fucking hot.
Oh, for fuck's sake. If you want Rogue, one, right, we're going off on a tangent. Let's find another one.
I love Rogue.
We're going to go on another Rogue fucking tangent. No, I know you do, but I'm not listening to the story of how you wanted to fuck Rogue again.
It was her voice. I don't know why.
I know what it was. You've mentioned it on the show 4 times. We're not
listen,
doing this.
Listen.
No,
listen,
you listen, cunt.
Listen. Do you think she'll go to prom?
Listen.
Do you think she'll go to prom with me if I ask her?
Isn't Rogue gay as fuck?
I think she's... Bye.
Siri, is Rogue gay as fuck? So, do you have any others? Or do you want us to do another one? Or
My only other one was Crash to Insanity, which is documents the abusive relationship between Neo Cortex and his lover, Crash. It's the only way to describe that game.
We're not doing that. I'm not... I kind of don't want to touch it now just because of the way you described it. I really want to bring abusive relationships into the podcast.
The whole thing is just them beating each other. That's just a weird game.
Yes, I'm aware of that, but then that's because they're an abusive relationship. They're enemies. They hate each other.
I mean, technically, by definition...
It's not like Crash loves Cortex, and like Cortex loves Crash, but loves hits him. It's nothing to do with that. What are you talking about?
It was a bit... A bad bit, in retrospect.
It was a terrible, terrible joke.
Let's cut that.
We'll cut that, yes. See, this is what... Someone asked me the other day, why don't you do your podcast live? And I'm like, it's because I'm very comfortable with my co-host, and occasionally we say, like, problematic shit that I need to cut.
We say problematic shit that has no bearing on us as people, but we're just...
No, it's just we've known each other that long that we're just very comfortable with
it. It's all
comedy.
Like, I know that Owen is a disgusting homosexual man, but I don't need everyone to...
Right, listen, mate. Disgusting pansexual.
I'm sorry.
I'm a pansexual deviant.
Sorry.
If I'm anything, I'm a pansexual deviant.
Listen.
Right?
Listen.
Cuck.
I don't want you.
Listen.
Don't you
listen.
Fucking yelling about how you want to fuck pans. I'm not gonna lie. My first when somebody said, "Dude, I'm not joking." Someone was like, "Oh man, do you know about pansexuality?" And my because I'm a dumbass and I just my brain runs at a fucking 1,000 miles per hour. I was like, "Why would you want to fuck up?" No, that's probably not what that means.
Jay. Fuck's
and then I was like, I decided not to say anything. I was like, tell me all about it. They were like, oh, it's like how they love everything. I'm like, oh, yeah, like pandemic.
Because Pam.
Because love is a disease and they want to...
Maybe not pandemic as a disease. Maybe not.
Because love is... No, listen, let me finish my fucking bit. Right? Sick of you restricting my comedic license.
Let me finish my fucking joke. God.
Because love is a disease and they want to spread it to all the world.
Okay, that's actually not too bad.
Yeah, that was disgusting, and we should
that could have
gone, burn it out.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Should we do another one, then? Let's find... The thing is, like, we're kind of running low on the old suggestion-ometer here. I've got another one I could do, I guess. I've got a few that's from listeners, but, like, again, the well's running a bit dry on those. If you could send us your suggestions, we'd appreciate that. But I've got one. Do you remember the adventures of the pirate captain, Captain Pugwash? It's very old, so I'm willing to bet you don't know what it is. But Captain Pugwash, he was a man. He was a pirate, and he rode on a boat called the Black Pig, and he had his mates Tom, Willie, Barnabas,
and Master Mate.
Master Mate.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh god! Okay.
Master Mate.
He
might be a cunning linguist, but I'm a Master Mater. That doesn't work, because that's just Master Mater. Just sounds like you're really good at the sexual intercourse.
Oh, hang on. Pugwash's anadonical pronunciation of this character's name appears to be the main source of the urban legend around the character's sexually suggestive names. Apparently, then, not every character... Despite that, it's all bullshit. But he would... he had, it was like, this is like one of the longest running sort of British things. It had like a whole series of books and a whole series of television shows. There was a film, which I think is either out or coming out. Oh, production has already started, so that's good.
Like how you were talking about sexual themes, and then like the film's coming out.
It's an urban legend repeated by the now defunct UK newspaper, The Sunday Correspondent, that ascribes sexually suggested names to masturbate, semen stains, and Roger, meaning to have sex with the cabin boy, as in to Roger the cabin boy.
I thought Roger
and
was
indicating that the captain's name was a slang Australian term for oral sex.
No.
But apparently it's a myth.
I don't know. They're sailors.
Yeah. Right, let's be fair, right? These men have all been on a boat for years and haven't seen a woman for ages.
I'm going to tell you something amusing about my friend.
Who's
in the military, and he was like, dude, everyone here is gay as shit. I'm like, well, it's probably because there's no women on the base. He's like, oh, no, there's women on the base. We're just gay as shit. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. He was very happy because he met an actual gay sailor. He was super happy about it. He's like, dude, I met a gay sailor! And I was like, okay, cool. And then he yelled about the RAF for like 20 minutes.
But yeah, Captain Pugwash, I think like it was very kind of whimsical and sort of, you know, very low stakes, kind of dumb children's animation.
So everyone, so it's like actual privateering in the like colonial days, yeah, where like everyone's just dying of scurvy. There's lots of rampant death.
Captain, Pirate Willie's got really bad scurvy. He's like, oh, just chuck him over the fucking side. We've already had to lose 5 men this week to
give
it.
Give him some fuck limes.
Put him out. We ain't got any fucking limes. We're halfway, we're like 4 days from the next port. He'll be dead by then, Barnabas, you fucking idiot. We have to just put him out of his fucking mid. I know you two are close, but we have to fucking end him.
We're not
right?
close.
Else he's gonna
we're
pass
lovers.
It around.
I guess it's still technically close.
Listen, Barnabas, listen, I know that on the ship that's fine, but on dry land they'll kill us for that.
That's actually true. That's sad. Did you actually?
They looked directly into camera. That's the sad truth about the pirate days.
Do you know what is like a on a happier note? Did you know where the American nickname for the British people came from?
Yes, of course I know where limeys came from, because I'm not a fucking idiot.
Well, a lot of people don't know it, actually.
Well, okay, it's because of scurvy.
Yeah, because basically they used to eat limes and shit.
Yeah. Fucking limey bastards, because we eat scurvy and drink lime. So there we go, that's Captain Pugwash. Just make it fucking incredibly sort of... Have the captain sort of, like, have a very bad drinking problem, and he's had to, like, get rid of a load of his men because of, like, disease, and, like, you know, he's been raided a few times, he's had to maroon a few people, and it's all just getting to him a little bit, and he's considering killing himself every single day of his life,
wow,
but refuses to do so, because he lives for his crew, not for
fucking
himself.
Fucking Spanish bastards won't live to see the conquering of the British Empire.
He's going to defend it. A privateer will defend the British
Empire.
Dude,
that was the point of privateers, the raid, like, opposing civilizations for their money. That's why Sir Walter Raleigh was executed, because he just was, like, sick of not being able to fuck Queen Elizabeth and was like, fuck it, I'm done, I'm going to go raid Spain. And the next king was a super big fan of Spain, and then he wouldn't stop raiding Spain, and then they killed him for it. It's great. Watch the fucking Drunk History episode about that. It's fucking great. It's got Jack Whitehall and Michelle Keegan.
So that's Captain Pugwash. Then we're going to make it very sort of like very depressing with a very alcoholic pirate captain. I know that that's like a disease that ruins lives, but this is comedy. We have to make goof. I don't know what I'm going with. I might just cut that last little sentence because it was terrible.
I mean,
fucking hell.
Yeah.
This whole episode is just problematic, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse.
It could be worse.
Could be that Trump boy.
We could be. God forbid we ever become that Trump boy. Do you have another one, or do you want to kind of find it, and let's find the last one?
No, I'm just thinking about loads of, like, dumb games from PS2 era and how I hate them all. I can't remember specific ones, but it's just, like, my favourite thing about, having a PS2 was, like, you go to a shop, and GameStation used to do the coolest thing where you'd go 3 for £10 for games.
Oh, that was so sick. You could get so many games
which meant that, like, because my dad would come up and he'd be, like, he'd go back down to, like, he'd come visit me, and then he'd be like, here's a tenner, and I'd be like, cool, and then immediately go to GameStation. And then, like,
I'd get 3 for £10 on games. Yeah, they weren't very good a lot of the time.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. When you get the 3 for £10 games, you had the one game you wanted, the other game that looked interesting, and the other game you bought because you needed a third one, and that one was always bad. So you'd get home and you just play the one you wanted to play. But I always felt like you had to play all three of them at least once when you bought them. So I'd end up playing the game I wanted to, the game I also kind of wanted to, and then the game I didn't want to, and then I'd never play the game I didn't want to and just play the game I wanted to.
Right, that was a really long way of saying that like I bought three games and played them.
Yeah.
I'm just
But I didn't know, but like the thing is I would play them all within a few hours of each other, but I'd play the last game for like 10 minutes and be like, I can't pretend that I want to play this game any longer. I'm sorry, game. I'm sorry, fucking Tank Warriors or some shite. I've got to play, I don't know, Lord of the Rings The Third Age, which is a great game.
Indeed.
Which I've never beaten, because I'm a dumb kid.
So here, I've got a suggestion here. This we've got another one. Suggestion here from Bonnie Lewis, friend of the show, voice of Rona on the Not Saving the Wrong podcast.
Disgusting.
Called, what do you mean? What's disgust? Oh, for fuck's sake. That's just nasty. You're gross. Yeah. Kill yourself.
Okay.
No, Jay. Oh, Jay's dead. Sorry, guys. Podcast cancelled. I'll get all of his money in bitches, and he will have nothing.
What bitches?
His kingdom is mine. You're always saying about all the bitches you... like
no
on this podcast.
I never say anything about bitches. I'm a monogamous.
I have one bitch and I love
whoa,
her.
She's not a bitch. She's fucking great. Fuck you.
You've literally described her as a bitch on
yeah,
the podcast.
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, sorry.
She's a fucking bitch. I love her. She's great. She's probably going to kill me one
Bonnie.
Day.
Can I fucking do the show?
Actually,
please?
Most people I know are probably going to kill me. That's we were talking about once. Like, how do you think people are going to die? And I immediately went, "I'm going to annoy someone, and they're going to stab me." And that was it.
Right? Can we do the show?
No.
This is a suggestion from Bonnie Lewis, friend of the show, voice of Rona on Not Saving the Realm. It's the Magic Roundabout. Do you remember the Magic Roundabout?
I remember the film, and it was really creepy, and I didn't like it because it was dumb as hell.
See, I remember the TV series more than I remember the film, because I thought the film was a bit shit. But the TV series was real good. Because it was basically the scariest fucking thing ever. Like, I think all, like, old, like, 70s TV shows look now real fucking, like, disgustingly scary. Just because of the way it looks. The Magic Roundabout is a French stop-motion series. A lot of French stuff coming up in here, huh? It was a French stop motion series in which I think a child visited a magic world with a roundabout.
Yeah.
Or something.
I googled something magic roundabout and I got and a really big roundabout in Swindon. I think I've gone the wrong thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, there is that. I'm looking at that. It's got sculptures. That's weird.
Man. Huh. No, it's not too terrifying. It just looks French.
It looks very French.
There's something about like French media that you just look at it and you're like, that's French.
Yeah, you can tell. I think the core conceit of the show was a child visited a magic world, and the key character was like a big rabbit that was looking back, probably an allegory for slavery, a snail, a cow, a dog, and a man with a spring for an ass called Zebedee. He's my favourite. And they would go on all sorts of adventures, and, you know, Dougal would get lost or something, and Zebedee would have to cut. Dougal's the dog. And Zebedee would have to come up with a clever plan, and the rabbit would be like, oh, geez, I'm going to play my guitar. It wasn't a great show, but just looking at it now, I'm kind of just reminded of all the very scary memories that were attached to it.
I just remember...
So how do you think we can ruin this?
I just remember that Dougal was obsessed with fucking sugar cubes. He, like, screwed everything
he
up.
He was obsessed with sugar cubes, yes!
I'm looking
That's very...
I'm looking
I've forgotten
the,
about that.
The cast members of the 2005 film... Dougal was Robbie Williams, so you know that was going to be good.
Yeah.
Florence was Kylie Minogue, for some reason.
It was what? Florence again, the child?
I don't fucking give a shit. Fuck him.
I give a shit. You have to... But you got to do this fucking podcast, yeah? You've got to at least give a little bit of a shit.
I give a shit about nothing. I feel nothing. I have a question. Well, they fucking... Why? Well, they released it in the United Kingdom, but they re-recorded most of the characters with different people.
Yes, because it was French.
No, like, I mean, like, there's the United Kingdom version... And then there's a US version. But they only changed some of... Like, Robbie... Okay, Robbie...
That's not that uncommon.
Is it not?
No, not
Robbie
really.
Robbie Williams was replaced by Daniel Tay.
Oh, you're on about the 2005
yeah.
film.
Florence was just Kylie Minogue
that
across
is,
the board.
That is uncommon.
Tom Baker in the UK, John Stewart in the other one. Jim Broadbent for Brian, and then they changed it to William H. Macy, which is kind of a step down, I guess. The train was Lee Evans to Chevy Chase. They're not comparable. Joanna Lumley to Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg.
I'll tell you why they did it. It's because the Magic Roundabout wasn't really a thing in the States.
Oh, I see.
So they didn't know what the fuck it was. So they changed the actual title of the film to Dougal as well. And so they had to make several changes to it just to make it work a bit better. Fucking John Stewart was in it as Z-Bad, which is a fucking terrible name.
Well, I don't understand why they, like... I get some of these things, because, like, Jim Broadbent's probably not pretty big in the US. Lee Evans probably isn't either. Joanna Lumley, maybe. But Bill Nighy is surely big in, like, the US, because he's a great actor. Why would you replace him with Jimmy Fallon? What the fuck kind of...
Okay, so, the thing is, the original film, The Magic Roundabout, that we got, was sort of much more critically received. Whereas in the US, it was completely panned because friend of the show, Butch Hartman, rewrote it. without telling anyone that he was going to rewrite it.
Oh, wow.
So he just did it and didn't tell the Weinstein Company that he'd rewritten it, and it was bad.
Ray Winston became Bill Hader for some reason, and Ian McKellen's just Ian McKellen again. That's fine.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, we need to kind of figure out how we're going to ruin this film. I mean, apart from... maybe not, because fucking Butch Hartman did it, and apparently it was one of the worst films that Ebert and Roper have ever seen. So maybe we don't need to. Maybe fucking Butch Hartman's done it for us.
Yeah.
Like, fucking just... The film was originally supposed to include a live-action story similar to The Princess Bride, but was scrapped due to budget costs in the US rewrite. Oh. This is amazing. Fuck.
The fuck?
This is terrible. I need to see this American cut now.
Original two voices read of those of Kylie Minogue and Ian McKellen. Minogue, however, revoiced her own lines with an American accent. Oh no! Our film has a fucking British accent in it. What the fuck?
There can't be any English people in this fucking film.
What? No, hold on. Look, Butch Hartman rewrote the dialogue in the film to make it more appealing to American, but in the end, most of his rewrites were discarded. Oh, so there's probably just fucking dissonance throughout the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, and they recut it as well. And they added loads of shit.
Yeah. So, okay, so Butch Hartman and co. have already ruined the Magic Roundabout for us. If you want to go do that, you can. I feel like we need to sort of do one, because we haven't done one for a while, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like our show's kind of losing its, like, edge. I think we've probably got time for one more before we wrap. Have you got any, or do you want us to, or do you want me to look some stuff up?
Look a thing up, and I'll try and think of something. I'll look around my...
Oh, Fanboy and Chum Chum! I've never even heard of Fanboy and fucking Chum Chum.
Oh, it's so stupid. It's like a really badly, terrifyingly animated fucking...
I think I've seen it animated.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's very Jimmy Neutron-esque. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Jimmy Neutron. I had no idea that was a film before it was a show. I thought it was a show and then a film.
Oh, see, everyone says that, and you're all fucking too young, because I remember when the film came out in theaters, and I saw it in theaters.
Dude, I had the DVD, I watched it so many times.
Yeah, but a lot of people are like, wait, Jimmy Neutron was a film? And it was like, it was originally a film, you fucking idiots. Where do you think they got the fucking footage for the opening title sequence of the fucking show, you peasants?
I'm looking at a top 10 worst cartoons ever with description. All of these cartoons on the list really, really suck. Thanks, Steven, too. I don't know what happened to the original Steven. Maybe he had better taste. But like he said,
oh, okay, I found one. I think I found one. And I don't know how good this is going to be, but it's going to be very, very
esoteric. He said Teen Titans Go was bad. Teen Titans Go is great. Family Guy's bad.
Are you fucking serious? Wait, sorry, before we can address this, I need to address that. You think Teen Titans Go is a good show?
It's funny.
Are you getting it confused with the original Teen Titans?
I never watched the original Teen Titans.
Who the fuck are you?
Dude, like, you forget that, like, I did not have access to, like, cartoons and television
but
for
you
a time.
I'm more concerned that you like Teen Titans Go. It's not a good
show.
Dude,
it's a fucking kids show. It's not supposed to be fucking award-winning. It's alright. It's not a bad show.
Jay,
I enjoy it.
Kids shows can be good.
Yeah, but they don't all have to be... They don't all have to fucking appeal to adult black comedy fucking humour standards.
I never said they did. I didn't say they did, but they have to at least be fucking competent.
They're alright.
This is just bad. It's just movement porn. There's nothing to it. There's no substance.
It's fucking funny, and there's some meta jokes in there for the fucking adults who have to watch it. It's not a bad show.
Look, we'll get to that. It's all right. I found one that I think might be good, and I think I'm going to say it, and you're going to have an idea immediately for how to make it bad. There was a program on CITV. It was mostly preschoolers. It was a Canadian-American interactive stop-motion musical comedy series, which is a whole load of words, called JoJo's Circus. It started a clown called JoJo.
The fuck?
And so I'm just thinking, we make it like JoJo 6 or 7, what are we on now? Like, which bizarre adventure are we running with?
I don't know, I don't watch it.
Okay, oh, for fuck's sake. Really? I was sort of relying on you to say, this is my stand when I said JoJo 6.
No. I read half of the first arc of the manga, and then I was like...
Okay, this ain't gonna work then. If you're not familiar with JoJo...
I know some bits of JoJo. This is must be the work of an enemy stand and all that.
Yeah,
but like that's about it. I think an easy way to do it is just remake JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but with clowns. And that's the entire fucking thing.
I think that's very good. Is the thing like replace stands with fucking just like big, muscly, beefy clowns?
Yeah.
And they just punch the shit out.
But no one wants
to
use their stand because it's clowns. And clowns are terrifying.
Clowns are very fucking scary. Maybe all the characters are clowns and simultaneously afraid of clowns, so they won't use their stands.
Or look at themselves.
Because of that exact reason. Or look at themselves. It's a very Gorgon situation.
Yeah, it's great.
It.
And then this must be the work of an enemy clown. And then they just turn around and it's Pennywise. Like, oh shit. Yeah, the new fucking Dio is fucking Pennywise. You thought it was just an accident that your brother died, but it was me, Pennywise!
I mean, he does that fucking dance from the new film. That's a meme now. Oh, we did
and
it.
Instead of the world, it's just Deadlights. That's it.
The big top.
Yeah. Good old. I haven't seen that new film yet.
There's a fan fiction out there.
Oh, dear.
And I can't remember where I found this. There's a fan fiction out there that's like Jordan Peterson meet the JoJo cast? No, I'm not thinking... No, I'm thinking of... Fuck, what's his name? The editor for InfoWars. What's his fucking name? Not Alex Jones, the other one. The British one. The cunt.
The what?
What's his fucking
name? I don't know what you're talking about!
Paul Joseph Watson, that's it.
Sure!
No, I need to find this, because it's very good. Here we go. The real fan... Just looking at this, fucking hell, I died. It's 4 chapters long, I've read the whole thing. I'll read this on that bad fanfiction stream one of the days. Oh, God. Are you ready to rap? Are you happy with JoJo's Bizarre Big Top or whatever we're going to fucking call it? Would you want to do another one just for safety?
Nah, it's fine. Let's go with the fucking JoJo's Bizarre... Existential
Bizarre Big Top
fucking Elder God-esque nightmare. Stephen King. Can we get Stephen King on that as well?
Refuse.
Why not?
Oh yeah, he's involved. Yeah, Stephen King will be like, that'll be Pennywise's stand.
Stephen King. He's just like, hey, what's up? I'm Stephen King. I wrote The Mist. Hold on.
Just the idea of Pennywise doing a fucking JoJo pose and then Stephen King appearing behind him ephemeral and resplendent, launching out fucking pens to rewrite
and he just stands there and is the creator of everything that's happening and is like, okay. He's just sat at his desk writing and then he's summoning. He's just sat on the ground with a piece of paper and a pen in his hand. What the fuck?
Pennywise, for God's sake, I told you not to summon me between the hours of 8 and 10. I'm trying to write my next masterpiece.
I'm trying to remember how Stephen King described his study in his book about writing, which is really good, by the way. Just check it out. He talks about his life, which is really cool, and then the last 3 chapters is just him going, man, I fucking hate when writers do this, it's bullshit. And I'm like, alright, cool. And then I look at 3 things and I'm like, oh no. That's my bit. About Stephen King.
It wasn't really a bit, it was just you talking about Stephen King for 2 minutes.
I like Stephen King, he seems like a cool dude.
I don't really think it's a funny enough bit to end on.
Oh man.
Thank you so much for listening to Think of the Children. It's a premiere podcast in which we renew your childhood. Do you have anything else you wanted to say, Jay? Because I heard you start to talk and then cut you off.
No, I'm good.
It's just going to be like, I want to suck Stephen King's dick. Then like, we know.
To quote the great philosopher Christopher Bowles, I love Stephen King. If he had a willy, I would suck it.
And there you go. So thank you so much for joining us on this week's installment of Think of the Children. It's a premier podcast in which we bring you childhood, brought to you by me and Jay. If you like our show, there's a number of ways you can help us out. You can go over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review telling people how much you like the show. That really helps us get up in the algorithms. I apologise if anyone was trying to listen to the show on iTunes sort of in the last 4 days. We were having some technical hiccups, but it's sorted now, I think. So yeah, you can go do that. If you do that, we really appreciate it. You can get us up on them rankings. That would be really good. So more people can listen to the show, more suggestions means more content, means better content, means more goofs. So leaving them reviews will be real nice. Where else? What else? Shit, yes. Yeah, the social medias. If you want to give us your suggestions, you can do that by going to Twitter at TOTCcast and tweeting about the show using hashtag TOTCcast. You can send us suggestions there or through Facebook, facebook.com/TOTCcast. Or email us, totccast@gmail.com. All of these ways are probably the best ways to get in touch with us. Please send us suggestions. You know, the show, we really appreciate it. They'll get added to a big master list of suggestions we can use for the programme, which means, you know, you might get your name mentioned on the show. The earlier you do it, the better, probably. Also, there's other ways you can support the show. If you don't want to do it like that, you can do it with your wallet. You can go over to patreon.com/totccast to kick us a few bones just every month or so. That'd be real nice. It'd really help us out, make the show self-sustaining, meaning that the backlog of episodes won't suddenly just disappear one day, which I've now learned is a thing that can happen. So I hope I don't ever stop paying the hosting fees, otherwise they just all go poof. There's some cool rewards on there. We're still kind of working them out a little bit, but you know, stuff like Discord, special Discord access, shout outs on the program, a special personalized recorded message, things like that. It also help us out get into a new thing, sort of like bad fan fiction readings, which I'm really looking forward to. I hope we get to do those, because that'd be really fun. I'm going to give you a snippet now of what that's like by reading. No, I'm not going to do that. But for real, this JoJo Paul Joseph Watson fan fiction is the funniest fucking thing I've ever read in my entire life. So I need you all to donate money just so I can show it to Jay, because it would be fucking great if he could listen to that. And I think that's everything. Yeah, I think I did it without forgetting one in the middle of this time. Jay, do you have anything any parting advice you would like to offer to our audience before we wrap?
Fan fiction's good for your soul. You should check it out, but don't read too much of it because it will make you cry. Not like out of any kind of genuine sadness or writing ability, just it's so terrible it will kill you slowly, internally.
I'm literally
like a festering wound.
I'm looking at this JoJo one, and there is not a single fucking capitalized name in the entire thing. It makes me want to die. All I've got is a thing that says, "I'm not scared of bullies like you," Pewd said, but then Killer Queen closed its fist. Killer Queen bashed the fash, he ordered, and Killer Queen punched PewDiePie in the face, blowing his head up as there was little left of the former YouTuber.
Oh, poor PewDiePie.
The final power of Killer Queen bashed the fash. Anything Killer Queen punches turned into a bomb.
Oh, no.
Night, night, Bigger.
I actually... Oh, okay, cool. I guess killing bigotry is okay.
No, in this it's bad.
Oh, it's bad to kill bigots.
In this particular universe, yes, it's bad, because in this one, JoJo and his friend Paul Joseph want to destroy all the leftists.
That's
using their stance.
That's what the fuck? I
told you it was butt wild.
I knew a kid in secondary school. I won't say his name. I don't give a shit about his life. I just don't want to...
You can tell me.
I will tell you who it is afterwards. You probably will know him.
Just tell me now. I'll cut it out. Just tell me. I'll cut it out.
Oh, it was... Do you know him?
Oh, I know that kid. He was a dick.
He was a dick. He once said to someone whose brother was in the RAF that he hoped they got shot down over Afghanistan, which was kind of a dick move.
He's a huge, huge dick.
Yeah. But he wrote a story for this girl that we know. I also wrote a story for the same girl.
Oh,
mine was,
no.
Mine was genuinely funny.
This isn't going where I think it is it?
Yeah, where like he was the hero and he went to save her. In the story, at one point he gets shot point blank with a shotgun and then wakes up with an open chest wound and someone's picking pellets out of his wound. And he's just like, "I'm going to go save them." And he's like fucking 15 and he gets an M16 and he's deployed with the US Marines for some reason. Even though the US Marines are not part of the British military. He just wanted to be part of Call of Duty. And then I was like, later on, like a couple years, I was like, "I bet I can beat it." And I made a really fucking weird story about us all going to war against North Korea because Shrewsbury had declared itself a sovereign state and now we were all special forces people. And I was like, this is how you write dumbass fucking bullshit. And then it got really weird and then I stopped writing it. I was like, fuck that.
I'm gonna end end this podcast with one more excerpt from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 4, The Real Fascist Show.
What the fuck?
That's the name of the story. Pewd saw his cap. Oh no, you're one of those Antifa thugs beating up old people you don't agree with. You guys are the real fascists here, as Churchill would have put it long ago.
What?
Thank you so much for listening to Think of the Children. My name has been Owen Piper. I'm a real fascist.
My name is Jay, and I wish I wasn't part of this podcast anymore.
And we got it in one. Thank you so much for listening.
Drink up the wine. That's fine.